From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Wednesday, June 7th. Coming up, yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day, and a Central Illinois woman marked the day by sharing the story of her husband, who stormed the beaches of Normandy. We'll hear that story from Eric Stock in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois is one of 10 states on a securities task force that's pursuing legal action against the cryptocurrency platform Coinbase for allegedly violating securities laws. The suit claims Coinbase skirted regulations requiring it to register stakings with state securities departments. Those filings are intended to help consumers evaluate risks. Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias says the suit is groundbreaking.
My job as Secretary of State is to protect all investors, and all we're saying is we want to make sure the disclosure statements for staking in crypto companies is the same for other investment companies.
Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong has previously stated that crypto should not follow the same rules as traditional currency. In a statement released on Twitter, Armstrong said Coinbase has tried to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission on multiple occasions. A coalition of clergy sex abuse victims and their advocates are demanding more information and transparency. Alex Degman reports.
A scathing report from Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul last month found more than 450 Catholic clerics and religious brothers abused nearly 2,000 victims since 1950. But David Clossy, with the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, says 149 names are still missing from lists of credibly accused.
These are 149 men against whom abuse allegations have been substantiated already by Catholic officials elsewhere. But these men are or were in Illinois, so they should be on the Illinois Church credibly accused list.
Clossy says more than two dozen are in Illinois now. He also wants changes in existing law so it'll be easier to go after priests accused of sexual abuse. I'm Alex Degman.
The new state budget includes more than $350 million to address homelessness in Illinois. The multi-year Home Illinois plan calls for more permanent supportive housing, medical respite, and street outreach. Christine Haley is the state's homelessness chief.
When homelessness is characterized as a personal failing, we misdiagnose the problem. When we misdiagnose the problem, we struggle to find the solutions that work. Homelessness is a crisis of the collective will to address it.
The plan ultimately seeks to bring homelessness down to a state of functional zero, where enough resources exist to effectively eliminate chronic homelessness. The House Energy and Commerce Committee heard testimony yesterday on a bipartisan proposal to mandate AM radios in cars and trucks. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows has more.
Wolf Boom Radio President Jerry Chapman testified on behalf of the National Association of Broadcasters. He noted that most of the radio stations chosen to initiate warnings in case of a national emergency are high-powered AM stations.
These stations reach more than 90% of the United States, and so there's not another technology or another medium right now that's ready to step in and replace that.
Meanwhile, Scott Schmidt with the Alliance for Automotive Innovation spoke for automakers and auto technology companies. He said they're committed to keeping people connected to emergency information in their vehicles, but not necessarily with AM radio. Committee members seem to largely support the proposed mandate, including some who said they usually opposed such requirements on industry. I'm Jim Meadows.
Larry Boone will be the next chief of police for the city of Urbana. Mayor Diane Wolf Marlin made the announcement yesterday. Boone retired as police chief from Norfolk, Virginia last year. During his three-decade career, he rose through the ranks from being a patrol officer to detective to serving the last 6 years as chief of the department. Still to come, we'll hear the story of a Central Illinois man who survived the storming of the beaches during D-Day. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new PBS drama, Marriage, offers a heartwarming and candid look at the human need for companionship in a challenging world. Lead characters Ian and Emma navigate the difficulties and joys of a long-term, intimate relationship. Marriage explores all the ambiguity, insecurity, laughter, and touching moments that come on the journey to romantic bliss. Stream this and other dramas as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. June 6th is a day remembered by many as the anniversary of D-Day, when Allied soldiers stormed the beaches of Normandy against Nazi forces. A Central Illinois woman marked yesterday by sharing her late husband's story. Eric Stock has more.
The story is really about Bob Moniger, but it's told partly by his wife, Eleanor. Bob Moniger was part of the second wave of U.S. and Allied forces that stormed the beaches at Normandy, France, 79 years ago. Eleanor says she encouraged him to preserve his recollections for future generations.
He never did talk much about it, but I said, you've got to write this down so somebody will know what you went through.
Bob Moniger wrote about the so-called longest day many years later. The Normal Light newspaper published his account 2 years ago. Moniger recalls how difficult it was to climb down the rope ladders as they got off their ship, quote, with all the equipment I was carrying and the sea being so rough. He noticed one soldier getting his leg and foot smashed between two ships that were, quote, bobbing around like a cork in the ocean. Moniger was part of a team that had to find a position for more than 150 howitzer artillery weapons once they reached landfall. When the fighting began, Moniger said he saw several wounded soldiers on the beach and bodies in the water. He also watched a truck fail to negotiate a steep hill. The truck rolled and bodies spilled out. He said he wondered if he had shared the same shelter on the beach with one of them that morning, or maybe had a beer with one of them the month before. He also saw German bodies and wondered if one of them could have been shooting at him a few hours earlier. Eleanor Moniger says her husband later acknowledged the fear he felt that day, but it did not overtake him.
Somebody asked him once we were on a tour, said, you must have been terrified. He said, well, I wasn't really terrified. I'd been through two other invasions, so I knew what was going to happen, but it was scary, but I wasn't terrified.
Bob Moniger survived D-Day and went on to fight several more battles during World War II before several bouts of malaria took him off the battlefield, as wife Eleanor explains.
Went to a hospital in Paris, and then he went to one back in London, and he was there for about 6 weeks. And in January, he wrote to his mom and dad, and he said, get out of my bed, I'm coming home. I bet he liked writing that to his mom.
Bob Moniger said he considered himself very lucky to come home with no injuries after 440 days of combat. He returned home to Macomb. He and Eleanor both grew up there. Eleanor was working on the family farm at the time. Eleanor says she received updates in the mail about how Bob was doing, and she waited for his return, though not in the storybook way wartime reunions are often portrayed on TV and the movies.
I knew him before he left, but I didn't really... It really wasn't one of those big romances. We just got to writing to each other, and he's wanting to know if I'd hang around and wait on him. I guess nobody else. He had nobody else to wait. And we just got to writing. So when he came home, we got married about a month after he was home.
The Monigers both worked for Illinois State University. She was in food service. He worked at the university heating plant for 25 years. The Monigers have three children. One of them served in the Navy during the Vietnam War. All are retired now. Bob Moniger died in 2002. Eleanor is now 98, and she wants to make sure the heroism of her husband and so many others who helped liberate Europe from Nazi occupation is never forgotten.
He took part in one of the biggest military operations in history and lived through it. He always said that. He said, I'm glad I took part in it, but I wouldn't want to do it again.
Eleanor Moniger says she once had her car's license plate number, June 6, 1944, to mark the anniversary of D-Day. She says someone saw that and thought her name was June. She's concerned many no longer know what the day represents. I'm Eric Stock.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says there'll be a chance of showers this morning, then turning mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Lauren Warnicki, Alex Degman, Tim Shelley, Jim Meadows, and Eric Stock. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.